IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Laizer Berman, diplomatic reporter for the Times of Israel. Very good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you.
And thank you for making time to chat to us and to our listeners. Much appreciated. Let's kick off. And is the Iran deal completely dead as it stands at the moment?
I think it would be an overstatement to call it completely dead. And let's remember that it has been eulogized in the past, and then it seems to be, you know, somewhat whiplash-inducing. We get this optimism. We had some serious optimism last month. It seems like, you know, from the statements of senior officials, from some of the reporting as well, that a deal was imminent. And now we have some statements from all sides, basically, really putting forth an air of pessimism. And the message that is going out now, including what senior Israeli officials have told me, is that there will not be a deal before the U.S. midterms in November. So, again, from a couple weeks ago, we were really anticipating a deal and what Israel will do in response to that. Now we have a month until the possibility of a deal is even in any way a possibility. Now, I will say that we have to keep in mind that these things change quickly. So it's possible that Iran will change its stance. It's even possible that the U.S. will surprise us. But as things stand now, again, there is pessimism being voiced. There is not much movement at all, and both sides are digging in.
And perhaps if we can sort of just kick off with also just taking a step back, and why is an agreement with Iran so important to so many countries?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and I think it's important to different countries for different reasons, as they all have their own interests. Iran is facing a crippling economic situation, inflation, cost of living. You know, the government is not really able to provide basic services to many areas, and it wants that economic relief. That's what it's really going for, and that's why it is in its interest to conclude this deal and get access to capital, to get access to foreign markets, to be able to sell its energy resources. The United States, let's talk about the Biden administration. This is something that Biden has wanted to conclude from before he went into office. Let's remember, he was Barack Obama's vice president, so he was there when it was concluded in 2015. And the United States wants to get out of the Middle East. Biden has not been able to do that. He was dragged back in, whether it's from Afghanistan, the Iran nuclear talks, Iran's proxies fighting in the area, Israel-Gaza conflict. So he wants to be able to kind of put a bow on this. Let's not also forget the energy crunch and the energy prices around the world. Getting Iranian fuel onto the market in some ways will also help alleviate that. But I think in general, Biden wants to focus in his foreign policy on China and secondarily on Russia, Ukraine, and doesn't want to be having to deal with the Middle East. And this is a way to put the Middle Eastern issue or Iran's nuclear issue behind it. And then, of course, we have the European countries who would like to see this package as well. They obviously have their more serious energy crunch coming into the winter and Russia on their doorstep.
Thank you for that clarification. I think that's a lot clearer also for me. I understand it a lot better now. And is it the right time now to commence negotiating this new deal on sort of the back of the failed one?
And so you ask, Israel would say this is not the right time. Israel would say, and Lapid says this quite openly, that he's not against the deal. He's against a better deal, longer and stronger. Israeli officials will point out that the original 2015 deal is starting to enter its sunset period, and some important clauses and some important limitations will be expiring in the coming year. So there's no point in going back to the previous deal. But those who are for the deal, i.e. the P5 plus one countries and many other countries as well in the West, will say, listen, this was the best that we could do. Let's get back to that. And this will be a springboard for talking about some of the other things that this deal does not cover, which, of course, includes Iran's ballistic missile program and its support for armed militia groups, armed terrorist groups across the Middle East.
And just looking at the press and the reports, the senior official that called on Europe and the U.S. on, I think it was on Monday, to begin talking, you know, with demands for the new nuclear agreement. Who was he talking on behalf of? Because it doesn't say who the senior official was. Any idea?
If you're referring to my own reporting in the Times of Israel,
yes.
I certainly do have an idea. but the these officials often talk about these sensitive issues, on condition of anonymity.
Yeah.
So I think you can be confident that he or she is representing the official position of this government, and has knowledge of the thinking at the highest levels. But that doesn't mean that we can attribute it to any particular person, and that's by design. But when these messages come out, they are not, accidental leaks. They are part of Israel's messaging to Iran, the U.S., to the world, and, of course, to the domestic audience, now that we are once again in an Israeli election season.
And lastly, the new deal, or this new potential deal, how's it going to differ that they can ensure that it's successful?
That's a question.
And I know it's a tough question. I know. What do they need to do to make it successful? Let's put it that way.
Okay, it depends what your definition of success is. In Israeli eyes, in official Israeli eyes, it would mean that some of these sunset clauses would never expire, so there wouldn't be sunset clauses, that Iran will be permanently limited from enriching beyond some very minimal percentages, that there will be permanent access by the International Atomic Energy Agency to Iranian sites and oversight. For the Americans, it's probably much less than that, but a success would be meaningful limits in the near term and giving space for continued talks over the coming years to try to keep extending this. So I think the general American administration thinking is, let's put this in a box right now. This is the only way we've been able to limit Iranian enrichment. Iran has been enriching ever since they have announced that they were taking steps away from the deal. And this is the only way to put it back in the box, and then hopefully everyone will be happy with the results in Iran, and the P5+1 will want to continue this when things start to expire. I think that's the thinking over there. Mm-hmm. But again, Israel is not opposed to a deal per se. They just think this deal is not relevant anymore and will end up doing more harm than good. And it's time to start thinking about what happens when a deal does not happen. And that's really the spirit of the statements that are coming out of official Israel done right now.
Thank you so much for that clarification. I think for ourselves, and our listeners, it was just good to hear just the basis, and just to get a better understanding. So, Lazar Berman, diplomatic reporter for the Times of Israel, thank you so much for that, and have a good evening.